Thank you for downloading today's podcast from Pastor Cheryl Brady. We pray that you'll be blessed, renewed, and revived by this powerful message.
Discouragement is often the gap that gets between our expectation and our reality. I said it's the gap that separates our expectation from our reality. And when discouragement is not handled correctly, it becomes demise. A lot of people are destroyed today over the littlest things, because it was one little thing that turned into something else, into something else. And the next thing you know, because we didn't deal with stuff in little stages along the way, now we have something that is overwhelming us. Discouragement has got to be dealt with correctly, and it's got to be handled correctly because of the purpose of God on our lives. And so he gave us several steps on how that we could overcome discouragement. And he took us into the book of Nehemiah. And I love the book of Nehemiah, because Nehemiah is a builder. I love the fact that Nehemiah had the ability to go through all of the burnt stones and find a place to reposition them in the wall. Something about that blesses me. He didn't look for all new stones, but he was able to dig into the rubble and find preciousness in the midst of chaos. And he's just that kind of leader and that kind of builder. So I love his story. And so I want to go and just give you a little bit of a backstory today on to what Pastor Travis was ministering to us about last week. If you were not here, I want to encourage you to pick up that CD or pick up the DVD, because I promise you it will be a blessing in your life. It's not something you will just put in the shelf and not use it again. But there are tools and there are methods in that message that will help us. But to give you a little bit of the backstory, the Babylonian army had seized Jerusalem. They had come in and they had overtaken the people of God. And when they did, many of the people, they lost their lives in the overtaking. And those that didn't lose their lives were taken captive. They were taken prisoner. And they were set down into settlement camps. And so the army had come in and it had destroyed the men. They had raped the women. They had pilfered through all of their possessions, what they had worked for, what they owned. Isn't it a mess when the enemy just comes ripping through your house and through your life? And that's exactly what was happening to them. The enemy set their entire city on fire and took them captive and began to treat them as if they were slaves. Their city, their entire community, their culture, their homes, their families were all left lying in the ruins. The sound of celebration and the sound of joy and the sound of praise that used to be heard in the neighborhood, or used to be heard in the house, or used to be heard in the family, or the sound of victory that used to be heard in the streets of Jerusalem has now all been silenced, because the enemy has come over and overtaken them. The temple that had once been filled with the glory of the Lord has now been completely devastated. However, the wonderful thing about it is that God had made a promise to these people nearly 70 years earlier. So now, 70 years later, these exiled, mistreated people of the Most High God, they were able to watch the Babylonian Empire fall, and a new king by the name of Cyrus, he was raised up, and he sent out a decree, and he says, now, after all of these years, I want you to be free to return back to Jerusalem and to rebuild the city of your God, rebuild the temple of your God. While that was good news to those that had been bound and those that had been enslaved, it also came with several challenges. Because how many of you know the wheat always grows up with the tare? It's the best of times and the worst of times all at the same time. Anybody ever been right there in the middle of that? The best best of times and the worst of times. And so now Cyrus has sent the decree. So now they're free. They're free to go and to do and to rebuild their lives. But the challenge is this, that while they are free now to go do it, they are too impoverished to do it. They don't have the resources that they need to put it back together again. They don't even have the strength that they need to build it back together again. They have been through so much that they are just exhausted. They are completely drained. Their lives have been shattered into a million pieces. Their families have been shattered. Their city was shattered. Their community was shattered. Their hope was shattered. Their finances were shattered. And their faith to a major degree was shattered as well. Their self-esteem and their courage. Now it is at an all-time low, lower than it has ever been in their lives. And so they are looking at something that they have been freed to fix, but they don't have the ability to fix it. It's one thing to look at something and know that you got the wherewithal to fix it. When all of your things in your life go crazy and you can look at it and zero in on it and say, okay, I can do this and I got that, and I can do this and I got that, and I'll do this and I'll straighten that out right there. It's one thing to know that you got what it takes to fix it, but it's another thing altogether to look at something and say, ain't no way in the world I have the ability. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I've been in the middle of some things that I thought, Lord, I just don't, I don't have what it takes to fix it. They didn't have what it took to fix it, because they not only lacked resources, but they lacked courage. And they also lacked physical strength. But not only did they lack resources and courage and physical strength, these people had been through so much that now they lacked the willpower to come out of what they had found themselves in. Because whether you ever want to admit it or not, there is a fight that when you fight it, it will clean knock the fight right out of you. There is a punch that you can take. You know, there's some that you can take and you can make it, and you can be like, you know what, I'm going to pull myself together and I'm coming up out of that, and it's going to be all right. But there is a fight that will just, that if you find yourself in that fight, it will clean knock the fight right out of you. And there is a punch that can hit you so hard where you will be like, okay, Lord. Anybody ever been in that kind of fight? Okay, Lord, I'm tired now. Okay, I'm tired. I'm just tired. Anybody ever been in so much that you're just tired? Okay, and I'm not talking about sleepy, because I can go to sleep and I can feel better. You know, if I'm just sleepy, I can wake up. But when I'm talking about tired, I'm talking about a tiredness that sleep does not help, that sleep does not fix. And it doesn't matter how much I sleep, I'm tired. Tired because I've been through so much loss, and I've lost so many things I didn't expect to lose. And I've lost my house, and I've lost my family, and I've lost my willpower. And the worst of all of it is I've lost my desire. I just don't have. Oh, it's amazing how far desire will take you. If you got the least bit of desire, you can somehow come up out of whatever you find yourself in. But when you have lost your desire and everything, it's a crazy feeling. These people are trying to pull their lives together. They've been freed to do it. Go back. Go do what you want to do. So they're free to do it. But they can't seem to summon the courage to do it. On top of all of that, they have enemies that are mocking them. You know what I'm saying? You got enemies that are mocking them. You got people that are laughing at them. They're laughing because you're out, but you're not really out. And you're free, but you're not really free. And they've got all of this happening. I mean, if it would have been a different environment, maybe they could have found their way to come out of it, to summon some courage. But here they are trying to rebuild their lives in this kind of an atmosphere. The one thing that they had going for them that is very powerful, however, is the fact that they were the people of God. Now, that in and of itself is a blessing, because God never ever forgets his own. And if he has ever said he's going to do anything in your life, you can rest assured that he is going to do it. He is their God. They are his people, despite their faults and despite their failures and despite their weaknesses, despite their low self-esteem, despite their weariness in well-doing, they are still his. Look at somebody on your right and tell him, you are his, you are his. Don't ever forget that you are his. Because they are his. Because he cannot lie. He sends them help. And he sends them a man, a leader, who is named Nehemiah. Now, when Nehemiah shows up in the midst of all of that I've just described to you, Nehemiah shows up, and so when they see him, part of them is like, blessed. Oh, okay, so we have a leader now. But at the same time, part of them is really bothered. Blessed and bothered at the same time. And blessed and bothered simply because bothered because they had moved into this thing that is called survival mode. I'm not going to ask you if you're there, if you've ever been there, but that's what they did. They moved into this thing that is called survival mode. They moved into a state where they were just numb. They moved into a state where normal, their normal has become numb. And numb is their normal. You know what I'm talking about, numb. You just do the same thing the same way with the same people every day, and you do it in and you do it out, and you fight the same battle year after year, and you fight the same struggle week after week, and it seems like you get two steps forward only to be knocked three steps backward, and you're just fighting and you're fighting just trying to make it. And finally, you see this is the thing, we're fighting the shadow of death. Okay, you know why we get our hair done, and you know why we get nipped and tucked, and we do all of these things, and we jump on treadmills and we run and we do this and that and the other. And you know why? Because we're fighting the shadow of death. Death is closing in, and we're fighting that thing. We're seeing things fall that never fail before. And it's making us fight. But then there is a mode that you just slip into and say, okay, I have fought it as long as I've been fighting. I've fought a good fight and I've kept the faith. And believe it or not, I think there's probably a place where you're like, okay, you know, failure is just, it's bittersweet. Because at least I know I ain't fighting it no more. So you move into that survival mode. So Nehemiah, when he comes up into their lives in their survival mode, he represents God coming to them saying, okay, you got this. Well, when you're in survival mode and you see that the task is so huge, you don't always want to hear God say, come on, you got this. It's going to be, because that means he's going to give you the grace to start over. And to be honest, I don't like what's happened, but I don't even think I want to start over. So on one hand, they are excited And then on the other hand, this man is on their very last nerve. Okay, Nehemiah is stretching them. But see, isn't that what good ministry does? Good ministry gets on your very last nerve, okay? Because you stretch and you make that mark and you grab that rung on the ladder. And no sooner do you grab it till somebody in ministry is over here saying, come on, go higher, go higher, take it up higher. I know you gave that much, but now you're getting ready to give this much. And you're back here going, Lord, I just barely got where I am. But that's what good ministry does. Because see, if people don't provoke us to reach, and if people don't provoke us to stretch, and if you come in here and I don't provoke you to do something that you did not think you could do, then I haven't done my job. It is my job to tell you, you have got this. I'm supposed to say to you, what do you mean you're quitting? Are you crazy? Get your self up. Get your butt back in the fight. It would be nice to quit, wouldn't it? Well, you don't have the liberty to quit. You got to get back in the fight. Stop. You can't stop here. You can't die now. You are better than this. You are born for more than this. God has never failed you. He is never going to fail you. You better get yourself together. Hit somebody, tell them, get it together. Straighten up your face. Have you ever had your mama say, you better straighten your face up. Straighten it up. Lift your countenance. Dry your tears. Where is your praise, church? Put your praise back on. Square your shoulders. Say, God, you're worthy. You are great. There is nobody any higher. Nobody any greater. And having done all to stand, you better stand. You better, I mean, you better. Nehemiah stepped into their lives, started snatching courage out of them. Courage that was hidden up under pain, and courage that was hidden up under defeat, and courage that was hidden up under. He reached in there and said, I got this right there, right there. He started pulling courage out of their lives because he understood you have been given an opportunity to rebuild your life. You have got to seize this moment. Hit somebody and tell them, seize it. You better seize it. Bible said that they were doing good. Notice this when Travis was reading it last week. They were doing good until they got halfway there. Something about getting halfway there. It's just they did good till they got halfway there because they had momentum and they had grace to start. But they needed grace to finish. I said they need a grace. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but you've made some strides and you've done really good. But if you don't keep moving forward, let me tell you, you will move backward. I said, if you don't keep moving forward, and so God has messed with you and brought you in here. I had you tune in just so that I could tell you, this ain't it yet. This is not it. You cannot stop. You are only halfway there. And as good as it is, I'm telling you, it's going to get better and better and better if you can just keep on going. Let somebody tell them, keep moving, keep moving, keep moving. No, push them, shove them, do whatever you got to do. But wake them up and tell them, keep going. Something about halfway there. It's something about getting halfway there. It causes your haters to take you seriously when you get halfway there. See, they ain't worried about you when you ain't made a move. Cause they like, she's got too much to come over to get there. He ain't ever gonna do that. He ain't ever gonna rebuild his life. You can forget about it. It's never gonna happen to them. But the minute they see you start to make a move, see, the minute they see you run into Home Depot and buy 2x4s and hammers and nails and start building your life back together again, now they scared. Somehow getting halfway there causes your haters to take you seriously. Oh, they start coming out the woodwork. Ain't nobody bothered you. until you get serious about rebuilding your life. Yeah, now they come everywhere. They come from everywhere. Yeah, and it's one thing to rebuild your life when nobody's looking. It's, you know, that's cool. If you can get away and rebuild your life when nobody is looking, that's one thing. It's another thing to have to rebuild your life in the face of your enemy. It's one thing to have to rebuild your life in the face of your accusers. To have to keep moving in the face of those people who said you would never make it, you would never come through, that it would never work in your life. I mean, you got so many voices speaking in your heads. One voice says, come on, Pastor Pretty says, you got it in you. You can take it. You can make it. But then you got other people saying, they ain't going to do it. They ain't going to make it. You might as well forget it. And there's a war going on. It ain't easy. It ain't easy having to get up in the presence of people that's trying to keep you down. Anybody know what I mean? Just having to push. Just having to push your way. It ain't easy. Trying to get it together in the presence of people who say, it ain't coming together. Do what you want. It ain't gonna come together. You'll never get your name back. You'll never get your reputation back. You can never get your credit straight. You ain't never gonna be well again another day in your life. You ain't ever gonna dream again. You ain't gonna hope again. You might as well forget it. That's what these people are going through. They are having to rebuild their life in a hostile, belligerent, negative, hate-filled atmosphere. Look at somebody and tell them like you know, it ain't easy. It ain't easy. Listen, it ain't easy when everything is going for you. Much less when you got all of this stuff coming against you. It ain't easy to straighten up what you messed up when people are talking about you. Y'all ain't never had nobody talk about you. Let me just tell you. People will talk about you. People will make up lies, okay? Sometimes they tell truth, but they start out as the truth. But next thing you know, it's like it's become a lie. It doesn't even resemble your life. You're like, who are you talking about? We're talking about you. Are you serious? Ain't a bit of truth to any of that. People will lie. I'm going to tell you, church people are the worst. They are more than enough, okay? They can just keep adding and keep adding and keep adding. Don't act like I ain't talking about you. Hello? It ain't easy. It ain't easy when people are talking about you. When you've lost everything. When you've lost it all. And you're trying. You're just trying. You're like, you know what? If God hadn't called me, I wouldn't even be trying. But the very fact that he called me makes me have to get out here and try. So you have to try. You have to try. You got to try to keep putting one foot in front of the other. But it's not easy, especially when people are over there laughing. Yeah, I know they think. When they're laughing at you, when they are mocking you, and when they are making fun of every move that you make, it is not easy to be criticized when you are unprotected, when you are vulnerable. When you got it going on, even then it's not easy to take criticism. But when you are vulnerable and when you feel like you are unprotected, you got to be careful, because one blow from the wrong person hitting you at the wrong place will set you back so far. Oh, I've been there with every accusation, with every allegation, with every insinuation. A little bit more of the courage that you've managed to muster up starts leaking out. Don't lose it all at one time. But you're like, God, I prayed for 3 weeks to get the courage to do what I did. One person makes one statement and it throws you back 6 months. It's the power of people's words. But see, that's precisely where the enemy wants you. That's where he wants you to be. Because he wants you to not have enough strength to build back what has been torn apart in your life. But I came to the Potter's House North to tell somebody, you got to keep on building. I don't care where you are. You got to make up in your mind, and you got to say, me? What, are you crazy? I you have lost your mind. I am going to keep on walking. Yes, I'm going to challenge every voice that rises up in my head that attempts to discourage me at my halfway point. I'm going to challenge it. I'm going to call it on the carpet. And I'm going to say, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to get this far and die now. I will keep on, whether you like it or whether you don't like it. I am going to keep on building my life. They were halfway there. Their enemy unleashed an arsenal of words, just words, words, words. Somebody say words, words, words. Just an arsenal. It wasn't any bullets. It was just an arsenal of words. Their enemy has the enemy ever released an arsenal of words? Just words coming at you from your house and your spouse and your job and your people that you know, your friends. They don't even know some of them that the enemy is using them. They're just putting words out there and they're getting all in your spirit and they're clogging up your mind, and you're like, I could have went all day and not heard that. Just a little, and the enemy is so slick. He knows how to interject one little word that will cause you to. Becca, they were halfway there. He releases an arsenal of words against them because words is the enemy's oldest weapon. I said, you got to understand words. That's the enemy's oldest weapon, yeah. And you can mark it down. Anytime the enemy wants to stop you, he starts shooting you with words. Just words, words, words. And then, y'all tell me if I'm telling you the truth. And once he shoots you with words, then he works overtime to make sure that you hear them. People over here will be talking their head off about you, and you're over here and you are oblivious to them. You ain't even thinking about it. Next thing you know, somebody runs through the crowd and somebody gets over here and somehow they have a way of giving you a word that was said over there about you. You weren't even over there. You shouldn't have even heard it. You weren't supposed to hear it. But because the enemy works overtime to make sure you hear what is being said. You know why he does that? Because he understands that if you don't hear them, then they don't work. I said, if you don't hear them, then they do not work. I said, if you don't hear them, they do not work. You can sit there all day long and say, she can't walk, she can't talk, she can't preach, she can't wear a blue sweater. But if I don't hear you, I'm going to walk, talk, preach, teach, and wear my blue sweater. Ooh, look at somebody and say, don't hear it, don't hear it, don't hear it. Tell somebody else, I ain't hearing it, I ain't hearing it, I ain't hearing it. I'm not hearing it.
Thanks for joining us today. For more podcasts and other ministry resources from Cheryl Brady Ministries, visit our website at cherylbrady.com. Thank you to all of our partners who make resources like this available.